cause we got the alternative energy. Find me, kill our free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hello, today's Radioactive Show was produced on beautiful Darawal country in Wollongong. I'm Emma Crunch. It's been over 4 years since AUKUS was announced, and despite the many well-documented flaws and the dangerous direction it takes so-called Australia's defence in, it continues. Opposition has been strong, including from local groups in the Wollongong area where I live, where the nearby Port Kembla was one of the proposed nuclear sub-port sites. And while it's been quiet on that announcement, the threat continues, and particularly in other parts of Australia. Today we'll hear how South Australia and Western Australia are particularly under the pump with proposed bases, constructions and ports connected to AUKUS. I'm sharing audio from an online forum organised by No Nuclear Subs South Australia called Stop the AUKUS Nuclear Submarines, which was held on February 11 this year. The forum was facilitated by Dr. Jim Green, nuclear free campaigner with Friends of the Earth. Firstly, we'll hear from Dr. Margie Beavis, who's with the Medical Association for Prevention of War, MAPWA, and ICAN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. Margie will provide some of the broader context of defence policy and AUKUS nuclear submarines. And later in the show, we'll hear from Professor Al Rainey from Adelaide University on the opportunity costs of AUKUS, as in what we're missing out on when $368 billion is funneled into AUKUS. Let's hear now from Margie.
So basically, how did we get here and where are we now? Well, most of you would have a very clear memory of sort of decade-long China being our biggest threat and going to invade us any second, and the drums of war. And then AUKUS became a very useful political tool for Scott Morrison, who thought that the Labor Party would reject it and he could have a khaki election. Well, unfortunately, Labor Party accepted it with alacrity, and there was no public or parliamentary consultation before the program was adopted. And given the huge benefits for the US, it's interesting to speculate where the idea for the whole project came from, in fact. The US Congressional Research Service, which is a really impressive, factually based service, came out saying that there was no evidence of an analysis of alternatives or any sort of equivalent rigorous comparative look at alternatives to what would be a more cost-effective way to spend defence resources. And that really sums up the whole project. So what's in it for the US? The non-refundable $4.8 billion to boost their flagging production yards will not even touch the sides. They put in $9 billion since 2018, and it's made very little difference to production rates. The US will get naval bases on the west coast at Garden Islands and much needed additional shipyard at Henderson with a submarine dry dock. The South Australian involvement in maintenance remains to be seen. I think it's more of a construction facility, but that's another story. I'll let the local people talk to that. The worst of it is that it really locks us into the US and its military decisions for the next 40 years. AUKUS Pillar 2 opens us up wide to the military, industrial, political complex and all its quite sophisticated lobbying, and also has enabled further militarisation of Northern Australia. So Northern Australia is now really, I won't read out all these lovely facilities that now have expanded, but certainly the latest one was an official mission planning and operations centre based in Darwin. But Tyndall Air Base, you could look at the excellent work that's been done by Vince Scapatura and Richard Tanter on the B-52 bombers that are going to be based there. There's going to be more personnel in the Northern Territory and in the WA and doubtless in other parts of the country. The end result of the AUKUS plan is basically major loss of sovereignty. We'll have no choice but joining the next US war, but no guarantee of protection from the US. And it's been quite blatantly spelled out that we are going to be a central base of operations for US power projection. Another end result, we are increased risk of being nuclear targets. So Perth, Darwin, and Tyndall join Pine Gap and Northwest Cape with that honour. And as always, it's worth remembering that nuclear deterrence is just the theory that depends on rational leaders. And along with the, we've had more than a dozen very near misses since the 60s, and due to human and technical error and extreme weather events. Now we have cyber warfare, and with increasingly sophisticated AI tools, the risk of nuclear war is slowly creeping up. Certainly, the loss of the New START treaty earlier this month means that the nuclear weapons arsenals that are loaded and ready to go will significantly increase, potentially doubling in the US in the next year or two. And certainly, we are being softened up to have nuclear weapons. The B-52s, with the stopping of the New START treaty, can fairly readily, half the fleet was non-nuclear capable. They could certainly make that half nuclear capable again, because that was done under the New START treaty, which has now lapsed. And the submarines, the developments in nuclear warheads and missiles mean that these will probably be nuclear armed in the early 2030s. Thanks again to Richard Tanter for that research. So another end result, increased nuclear proliferation. Having nuclear weapons really based here effectively contravenes the Nuclear-Free Pacific Treaty, the Rarotonga Treaty that we've signed. These submarines are fueled by high weapons grade, highly enriched uranium, which is weapons grade. A lot of countries now are expressing interest, and this gives them a free pass to have quite serious enrichment technology. So Japan, South Korea, Iran, and Turkey are now interested in this submarine process. In addition, Australia's action has undermined the fissile material control, in other words, the amount of HEU in the world they were trying to limit, and now that's been undermined. And also, the safeguards that Australia says it's signed on to are pretty laughable. And as other people will speak later in this webinar, potentially major problems with the management of nuclear weapons grade nuclear waste that is like that for centuries. Ironically, Trump, who changes his mind often, is now downgrading the China threat and saying that they're going to seek open, wider range military to military communications. And I think this is great if it actually stops us from having a war, trying to support strategic stability, de-conflict and de-escalation more generally. But is Australia responding in any sort of kind? Not really. Meanwhile, coming back to the subs, which is what this talk's supposed to be about, if we do get them, they're fundamentally not suited to defending Australia. They're long-range attack vessels. They're too big, they're too few. If we get them, three to five in the 2030s, of which maybe half, if we're lucky, might be able to go off station. So maybe two submarines, three if we're very lucky, but the British with their submarines, actually, I'll get to the British later. Anyway, they'll be too big, too few, too late, too unreliable, too difficult to man. We have a great deal of difficulty manning our much smaller Collins submarines already. Too hard to get spare parts. The US are so short of parts for these submarines that they're actually having to cannibalize other Virginia-class submarines to get the parts, because some parts are not obtainable. And there's good evidence from a number of sources that the oceans will be much more transparent by 2050. And sort of blue-green lasers, infrared detection of heat trails from space by satellites, artificial intelligence analysis, undersea sonars. There's a whole series of buoys being laid in the South China Sea to detect submarines. So once submarines lose their stealth capacity, they're basically obsolete. They're very easy to shoot out of the water, as the Germans discovered in 1943. But not to worry about them being unsuitable, because I don't think we'll ever get them. The US legislation is very clear. It will not, they can't give them to us unless, if it degrades US capability, and they are short of submarines, and their current build rate will not provide enough submarines. And the wishful thinking on the part of the Australian government is just that, it's wishful thinking. There's major problems with sustainment. In other words, these submarines are, for the English, it's four out of five are out of the water at the moment. Only one of the submarines is good enough. All the rest are laid up being repaired. And the Americans, the last data I saw was that 40% were out of the water with problems with maintenance. and there's major build delays. It's much more likely there'll be US-controlled submarines based and repaired in our ports, and basically billions wasted, and also billions, a huge amount of effort wasted. I mean, imagine if we put this much effort into addressing climate change or so many other really critical social issues. It's such a waste of really good talent. Moving to the UK subs, which eventually I think are supposed to be built at the Adelaide shipyards, at the South Australian shipyards, sorry, not Adelaide. The UK is the designer. Australia has input into the design, but we are not the designer. We do not decide on the design. So this will not be designed for Australian needs. The design schedule is already delayed. The British submarines are even worse, less reliable than the US subs. And I've already talked about the fact that four out of five are laid up for maintenance. And that's not unusual. That's been for some years that there's been really poor reliability of these submarines. For the last 3 years, the UK Infrastructure and Projects Authority have said that the submarine reactor, that is the key ingredient, is unachievable. It's basically saying they can't do it at this point. And interestingly, the guy who is Director of Nuclear Policy in the UK Navy, the Ministry of Defence, retired Rear Admiral Philip Tye, said, and this is being polite, I'm sure, "It's clear that Australia did show a great deal of naivety and did not conduct sufficient due diligence on the parlous state of the UK's nuclear submarine program." And similarly, he goes on to say, "There's been plenty of announcements and political grandstanding, but very little substantive progress on actually developing the industrial base needed." And finally, very damningly, he said that Britain's no longer capable of managing a nuclear submarine program, and that performance across all aspects of the program continues to get worse in every dimension. So the idea that we're going to get AUKUS submarines built in Australia in the 2040s, I think, is again wishful thinking. So basically, to draw, I've got a couple more slides after this. I don't think we'll get Australian-controlled Virginia-class submarines. I don't think we'll get UK submarines, but if we do, I think it's very good that we're preparing for it, because we've got to delegitimize this whole project. We're going to get more US bases, more enmeshment, we're going to be less able to defend ourselves, we're going to have more an undermining of non-proliferation norms, and nuclear waste is a big issue. Losing sovereignty, it's dragging us into US wars, and it's also a loss of work to prevent war. Australia is really terrifically placed to negotiate between our biggest trading partner and our closest ally, and we should be really working very hard on that. It's such a dumb decision. What should we be doing? We should be, to quote Richard Tanter, we should recognise that China is, security of China is not a matter to be recognised and calculated and accepted, but not opposed with nuclear weapons. This is just foolishness. We need an urgently need a review of AUKUS pillars one and two, and we actually need a security strategy that's based on actual security, like for homeless women, and taking into account so many critical social needs that are all part of making Australians more secure. And defence strategy should be part of a national security strategy. It shouldn't be. It feels the tail is wagging the dog in terms of what makes Australians more secure. So again, just in sum up, less able to defend ourselves, less funding for critical needs, more of a target, damages peacemaking, more likely to join the US war, and nuclear waste. So what's not to like?
You're listening to The Radioactive Show, heard on 3CR Community Radio and nationally on the Community Radio Network. That was Margie Beavis, organiser with Medical Association for Prevention of War and ICAN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. Today we're bringing you audio from an online forum organised by No Nuclear Subs South Australia on February 11. Dave Noonan, independent environment researcher, also spoke at the forum about the latest disturbing updates on the weak standards and undemocratic decision-making concerning nuclear waste storage in so-called Australia. We don't have time to play his speech, but look up Dave Noonan's work online to find out more. We will now hear from Professor Al Rainey from Adelaide University about AUKUS costs, the opportunity costs, and its spurious job claims.
Thanks very much. I've talked a lot in the meetings over the last couple of years about the nonsense that we've been told about the job creating and regional development potential of AUKUS in South Australia, how it was supposed to replace and replicate the motor industry and have the same effect on driving the regional development and, in fact, the state development of South Australia. It's becoming ever clearer that this simply is nonsense. It's not going to be the case. And if you don't believe me, more generally, a sort of rather long-haired and ancient professor from a university in Adelaide, try a report from the UK Royal United Services Institute, which came out towards the end of last year. And what they said, quote, was, "Framing defence spending as a path to prosperity ignores its poor economic returns, limited job creation, and the opportunity costs of not making alternative public investment." And it's that that I want to focus on now, the opportunity costs, what we are not spending on beyond simply the $368 billion that we're paying for the great white elephant that is growing about 5 kilometres up the road from where I live. In a book that Mark Dean, Darren Snell and I published at the end of last year, we looked at the way that industrial policy in Australia has become increasingly militarised, not only through AUKUS, not just the $368 billion, but through initiatives like the Future Made in Australia policy, the Critical Minerals policy, what are being described as strategic industries or not being described as strategic industries, how these have all now got a military focus and dominated increasingly, as Margie pointed out, by the United States. Let me give you a few very brief examples. Off the northwest shelf of Western Australia, we have the equivalent of 110 Sydney Harbour bridges in the grossly polluting northwest shelf oil and gas industry that have to be decommissioned and brought back onshore in the next 20 to 30 years. Huge amount of steel. At the moment, we have got absolutely nowhere in Australia that can deal with that task. We did have a site that was pointed to by one of the major committees that deal with decommissioning in Australia. It was the Henderson site just south of Perth. And as Margie has already pointed out, that has been given to AUKUS. There is no other alternative being put. So a task that we desperately need to stop the growth of this massively polluting industry and deal with the horrendous effects of leaving all this stuff in the sea off the Northwest Shelf has been effectively blatted by AUKUS. And it's not just that that's the problem. The problem is it's now causing real issues for places like Whyalla. In Whyalla, we're trying to grow a green steel industry. Green steel needs scrap steel to produce. The whole plan was to bring the steel back off the Northwest Shelf to WA, process it into scrap, sail it round to Whyalla. Thank you very much indeed. We get green steel. That's gone completely for the time being. Furthermore, there are other things that we are not investing in. We are not investing in renewables in anything like the extent that we need to hit the net zero target that we have, never mind a real target that we need to hit if we're actually going to control the climate crisis that we currently face. Critical minerals that will be crucial to that initiative are increasingly being aligned with interests in the United States to satisfy the Americans' demand for critical minerals, which will go primarily, as we know, to the new tech military complex, in other words, defense. Recycling, critical to this country, is not hasn't appeared very much in the Future Made in Australia policy. We've just been told that there's going to be a pilot project for recycling solar panels, and God help us, a productivity inquiry into it. About the last thing we need is a productivity commission inquiry, but we're getting one. This means it's going to be at least 3 or 4 years before we get a pilot project set up and running that will deal with the millions of solar panels and the constituent elements of them that are growing, thankfully, on roofs around Australia. We are not investing in that in anything like the extent we need to, while we are wasting money on the AUKUS submarines. Margie also talked about the second pillar of AUKUS, which is one that doesn't merit the same amount of attention. And that's the technology surveillance elements of AUKUS. And part of that is aimed at tying us even further into that technology military complex that I talked about a couple of minutes ago. And part of that involves the insane investment in data centers that practically every state in this country is rushing into a headlong competition to outbid each other to provide the incentives to bribe the big tech bros to come and set up data centers in their state. We've got over 240 in existence or planned, which is one of the largest numbers of tech centers outside of the United States. They have appalling environmental effects on water in particular, appalling demands on energy, and so you see the tech companies already demanding that we invest in nuclear power. Oh, here we go again, nuclear power to pay for the the data centers. This is all well enough, but it extends even further than that. One of the things that we've talked about in meetings in South Australia for the last couple of years is the way that the defence sector is now invading and pervading the whole of the education system in South Australia. It's in schools, it's in the further education, the TAFE system, it's in the universities who are falling over themselves to grab the dollars that are available to put on courses to train people to build the submarines that will never arrive here. So we are faced with a whole series of things that we are foregoing, that we are closing down and not developing because we are developing AUKUS. We have to withdraw from AUKUS as soon as possible, not just for all the negative reasons that we've heard so clearly outlined, but for the positive reasons, the reasons that we are, the jobs and the sectors that we are missing out on. We've got to stop investing in jobs for death and start investing in jobs for life. And I'll finish there.
You've just heard Professor Al Rainey speaking at the Stop the AUKUS Nuclear Submarines online forum on February 11. Earlier in the show, we heard from Margie Beavis, who was also speaking at the same forum. Thank you to No Nuclear Subs South Australia for organising it and sharing the audio with us. You can find out more through looking up Friends of the Earth. They're organising against AUKUS and the bases. You could look up No Nuclear Subs South Australia or also the Medical Association for Prevention of War and ICAN, International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. Finally, we'll go out with some words from attendees at the NAM rally, which was held as a part of a national No AUKUS and US bases day of action, held over the weekend of 21st to 22nd of February. You'll hear some words from a couple of the people at that rally as captured by my co-producer, Michaela. This has been the Radioactive Show, produced today on Darawal Country in Wollongong for 3CR Community Radio and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. Thanks to the Nuclear Free Collective of Friends of the Earth Melbourne for their ongoing support of our show. If you'd like to podcast the episode, you can find it on 3cr.org.au or on most podcast services. I'm Emma Crunch, and here's to a nuclear-free and peaceful future.
Hi, I'm Con Pakavakis. I'm a teacher, an activist with No AUKUS Victoria. And we're here today because of all the military bases being opened in Australia. I mean, Australia itself is becoming one big military base, really, you know, from Northern Territory right across to West Australia, Perth and Adelaide, the main centres. It's all around the AUKUS, call it agreements, because it's not formally a treaty, but there's an underlying belief that there is a commitment from the Australian government to automatically allow American military command to take over Australian forces in the event of a war with China. So Minister Miles was in America in about a month ago for what was called the AusMin meetings, and American commentators basically were saying that they believe the undertaking has been given by Australia to commit to a war automatically with China if such a war breaks out.
My name's Rita Camilleri, and I have been a member of a few peace movements over the years, and I think this has been the most exciting one, because I think the word is getting out to people and people are actually seeing what's happening. They're not just reading about it, they're seeing. So we're full of hope, really. We're quite optimistic. We're all joining together too. That's the other thing. I think if we have groups joining together, we've got more hope.
I'm Warren. I'm part of a small rally. It's actually a national protest all around Australia in different in the main cities against the AUKUS deal on the nuclear submarines, but also against the general domination of the US alliance and our subservience to that, particularly under the Trump government now, which is unstable and doesn't represent the interests of the American people, let alone the Australian people. Our government is somewhat subservient to this and not aware, apparently, of the dangers of hosting American submarines in Western Australia, of hosting American B-52 bombers, nuclear-capable bombers, in Tindal Air Base in Northern Territory, and the fact that these will be prime nuclear targets for a war if it should break out. And who knows with Trump? He's going around the world bombing and threatening a lot of other countries. And, you know, Australia doesn't want to be... We don't need to be dragged into America's wars.